And so, Lord, we thank you so much for Bill and Bethany and their entire family, for what you are doing, Lord. We pray that you would go ahead of them. Holy Spirit, that you would start preparing, Lord, this people to hear your word, to respond to your word, Lord. That you would start plowing up the hard ground that they are pioneering, Lord. That you would just start doing a work already, Lord. That when Bill and Bethany show up, Lord, their job is just going to be explained that this is God and this is him and this is who he is and what he is doing, Lord. That you would just start doing a mighty work ahead of them even now. We just thank you for equipping them, empowering them, and giving them the strength and the courage and the boldness that they need to fulfill your work in their lives in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's all you.
Thank you.
I have ones apparently clipped. Hey, it works.
There you go.
I hear myself.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It is awesome to be here. We absolutely love the drive coming in, the mountains, the country. It's my heart. It's
hard to see people over there. Where'd you go? There you are.
You did it.
I did.
Just so you know.
I blocked it. I used to be able to look over that thing.
Yep, but my name is Bethany. This is my husband, Bill. And we have four missionary kids with us, our children. We have Megan.
Wow,
she's
they're a lot
12.
Bigger than they were when we took that picture.
Yeah,
holy
yeah they are.
Wow.
I scraped that off of Facebook.
That's okay. Megan is 12. She's going to be 13 in 3 weeks. Oh, boy. Will is 11. He's going to be 12, same time. Joshua is 10. And Zach is 7. So those are our kiddos. They travel with us. And this is not just a Bill and I missions trip or missions life. This is a family. So we're going to be training our kids to be working with us and doing different things. Some of our kids have already felt called to do different jobs with us. So we're really excited for that. But we have been called to the country of Curacao to start off with. But our heart is actually the entire Eastern Caribbean. And we're going to be sharing with you about that. But we have a huge map outside. We can show you exactly where God has called us to do and what our lives are going to look like for the future. But for today, we just kind of want to give you a sample of what God has asked us to do. But before we start, we have a friend that has missed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's drums back here hiding behind
he
here.
He wasn't in the van.
No.
If anybody sees underneath their seat a blue furry friend,
I don't know. Maybe
if any kids see any blue furry friend, not under there. Okay, thank you. Well, while Bill is looking behind here, if everyone else would turn with me in their Bibles, in your iPhones, in your iPad, whatever you look in the Bible or read from. If you would go to Matthew 28 with me. We're going to be reading and talking about the Great Commission today. It's near and dear to our family, but I'm going to show you how it's not just for missionaries sent overseas. It's for every single person sitting in this room who is a child of God. So, the Great Commission. Oh, there you are.
Hey, this is the sound of dry bones rattling.
That was a good song, wasn't it?
I don't have any bones, though.
What? Oh, that's true. You don't.
I feel left out in that song.
Well, you
prophesy to the felt.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, there is a hand in there with bones, but I guess
that's
it's
true.
Not technically yours.
True, true.
All right. Well, how about you introduce yourself?
Okay. My name is Oozbob Shabazz Jenkins, and I'm an ordained pastor now. Yay!
Oh, boy.
I am?
Okay, well, your handler is an ordained pastor.
That weird guy behind the curtain?
Yeah.
That means I am too.
Okay.
At least the hand part.
Alrighty then. Well, okay. How about, well, you said your name was Oozbob.
Oozbob.
How about your nickname? It's a little bit easier.
All right. You can call me Bud.
All right. Bud.
No, don't say Bud. It's not Bed. It's Bud.
I forgot.
You guys thought it's your toes.
Yeah, you have to, it's like
Bud.
A deep U.
I'm really up high up here.
Yes, you are.
Whoa. I feel like I'm going to fall off and, well, I guess I can't hurt anything. I don't got any bones.
Exactly. So, Bud.
Yeah.
We were getting ready to read your favorite verses. Are you ready?
Yes, Matthew 28.
All right, we're going to be reading verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Yep, these are my favorite verses.
All right, so, bud, let's jump right into it. We know that there are some people in the New Testament, once this command was given, that helped to work towards fulfilling the Great Commission, right?
True, like Pablo and Maria and Felipe.
You're in Spanish mode.
It's true. Es la verdad.
Okay, but how about some English?
No hablo inglés.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me think. It's Mary and Philip and Pablo.
Yep, so the... What?
Pablo. Oh, it's Paul. Sorry,
there we
Paul.
Go. Okay.
Paul.
Yes. So, yes, those three are just examples of people who helped to work towards fulfilling the Great Commission. But, Bud, did they finish fulfilling the entire thing?
The entire Great Commission?
Yes.
Okay, let me think. It says to go into... Whoa, almost fell off.
That was beautiful.
All the world. It says to go into all the world, right?
Yes.
Right? Hey, people out there, I'm talking to you. It says to go into all the world, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Back in Bible times, did they have any aeroplanes?
No.
Nope. Do you think they could swim across oceans?
Yes.
Whoa, that'd be weird. Watch out for the sharks. Okay, wait. So if they didn't have aeroplanes, and they didn't swim across oceans, then they didn't go into the world, because they didn't go to North America or South America or Antarctica with the penguins. I love those penguins. I want to be a missionary to Antarctica and minister to the penguins.
That would be different.
It says to preach to every creature. It does.
Okay.
Read your Bible.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Antarctica because of the snow, but I'm a little different. So they did not fulfill the entire Great Commission. So that means that there is still a lot of work to do, correct?
Yep.
So then who is supposed to be fulfilling it?
Blue furry people like me.
Well, I think you can help, like you're doing today.
Okay. Then it's blue furry people like them. Some of your hair's blue, I can see it.
I think
you might the older folks.
I think you might need glasses.
Really?
Yes. Because I don't see any blue furry people. Except for you. So anyway, so it's not just for blue furry things like you, but I think it's also for each and every person sitting in this room, correct?
That's what I said, blue furry people like them.
I think you just have fur covering your eyes, and that's why you're seeing them as furry.
Maybe. Hold on. Here. Come over here and wipe them off. Whoa. You're not blue anymore.
No.
That's creepy. I thought you was, like, dipped in some sort of blueberry sauce.
Well, anyway. So, yes, it is for each and every person here. It's not just for missionaries going overseas. It's for everybody who calls themselves a child of God. You guys each have an opportunity to be a part of the Great Commission every single day.
That is true.
So we're going to teach you guys three different ways that you can join us as we fulfill the Great Commission in our context and how you can do it where you're at, okay? So, Bud. But
you scared me.
You stop focusing.
There was this thing over here. It says to come up and speak, and you have to wait your turn.
All right. Well,
I want to go speak into that microphone, but these things don't work, meaning my legs.
Yeah. Well, you're already speaking, so you don't need to go.
That's true.
Okay. Well, Bud.
Yeah.
What is the first way that our friends can join us in fulfilling the Great Commission?
Okay. The first way that you can fulfill the Great Commission, because I speak French, is that you can pray. You can pray for your pastor. Hello, pastor. I see you. I see you. I mean, I really, there's a black curtain in the way, but I see you. Wow, these people don't get it over here. Hey, there's a black curtain. He can't see. These eyes don't work. Anyway, You can pray for your pastor or a pregnancy center or
your record skipping
or help or
well stop
or what did you touch with your hands?
It was hand sanitizer.
Ew. I'm an all-day pastor now. I can't have alcohol in my mouth.
Okay, well, your record was skipping. I needed to stop you. Blech. So, anyway. Yes, praying is the first way that you guys can help to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, all of us know that prayer is communication between ourselves and God, right?
True.
Our lips to God's ears. It is powerful. There is something that happens when we pray. There is something that's activated deep inside of us, okay? So there are times where God might download something deep inside of you where you need to pray for something. Now, sometimes it could be a country that you have never heard about.
Like Uzbekistan.
God bless you.
It's a real place. It's right next to Turkmenistan and Tajikistan.
So it's around the stands.
It's around all the stands.
Okay.
Anybody in here named Stan?
Oh, we got one.
Wow!
The sound guy.
That's awesome. Hey, man, did you know there's like 20 countries named after you?
Well,
they're all in the Middle East.
All right. So at some point, maybe God downloads, hey, I need you to pray for one of these Stan countries or Stan the sound guy.
Whichever.
There is a reason for that. And there is something inside of you that God wants to activate so that you can fulfill your part. Okay. Your prayers are powerful. Kids, teenagers, adults of all ages, your prayers matter. It doesn't matter if you are 2 years old or even a year old and start just saying Jesus. To 90-some years old and have many words.
Or 200 years old. Anybody in here 200?
No.
Nope, didn't think so.
Okay. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Your prayers matter. God wants you to pray for those things that he gives you to pray for, okay? Now, sometimes you may not get a download. I do have a story about when we were serving our missionary associate term. We were in the Caribbean in an island called Antigua.
I wasn't there.
You were not there.
I was at Amazon.
True.
Not in the Amazon.
No.
The Amazon has anacondas and jaguars. I was in Amazon. They had other blue furry things like me, shrink wrap.
True. So while we were living in Antigua and serving, that was our first term. It was our first time leaving the U.S. with our family, completely selling everything, our home, our cars, rehoming animals, and trying to get into a new country and live with four kids was very difficult. There are times where we felt completely alone, our kids felt forgotten, we felt, my husband and I, felt very confused. And we struggled, okay? Just to be honest, it was really hard. So I would have a friend who would, out of the blue, when these hard feelings would come up, she would just text me. She knew exactly when. She goes, yo, mi hermana, ¿qué pasó? Necesito orar para ti. I'm getting there.
Tu hablo español.
Un poquito. She's a friend of mine. We took Spanish classes for 7 months. She's Spanish, so she needed me to practice. She said, my sister, I need to pray for you. What's going on? And she would tell me that God has been telling her, pray for the McClure family, pray for the McClure family. And she just, it was exactly when something hard was happening. So when God tells you to pray for somebody, you may not need to reach out and say, hey, what's going on? We don't need to know everything that's happening, especially in somebody's life. We may not know the country or what's going on in the country. We just know we need to pray. God just wants our obedience to follow through.
True.
Now, sometimes we do not get those downloads. Sometimes we just need to, we know we need to pray every day, right? We know we need to stay in constant communication with God. We as missionaries have awesome cards, bud.
Yep.
What are they called?
They're called tarjetas de orar.
Prayer cards. Very good. I got it that time. We have prayer cards to have people to remember to pray for us. Because it's not going to be an every or all the time thing that you remember to pray for your missionaries. We just have cards that you can put in your Bible, on your refrigerator, wherever you remember to pray.
But not in the bathroom. Don't put them in there.
Oh, my word.
That's weird. We do not want you looking at our faces while you are in a state of undress.
But what if they're brushing their teeth?
But what if they're going to the potty?
That's none of your business.
Blah.
Anyway.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, bud.
Blah.
We have prayer cards that you can take that are with our entire family. It has our contact information on it. But more importantly, we have a prayer card for our kids.
Los niños.
Yes. And like I said, our kids really did struggle the first term we were on the field. They felt like they were forgotten. So this time, we made prayer cards specifically for them. We've gone through almost 1,000. So they know that there's at least 1,000 people praying for them. But we would like you to join us in praying for our kids, because it's not just us taking kids to the field and them sitting and doing school. They're going to be working with us. They're a part of the action. So we need them prayed up, and pray for us too, because we're in new waters with teenagers. Help me. So please just take our prayer cards. There are some other ways that you can remember to pray every day. We need to keep our pastors in prayer. Pastor Steve and family, I just want to thank you and honor you for all the work that you've been doing through this COVID pandemic. You guys are heroes to us,
yeah.
Each and every pastor. So thank you. Remember to pray for your pastors. Remember to pray for your leadership. Pray for your community. Pray for our country. Pray for your friends, the people sitting here. I have bookmarks that I need to start using again because I put them down and I need to get them back. But every day, I'm a little type A.
oh, that's funny. She says she's type A.
I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No.
Yes.
You are not type A. A type A person makes a list, then does what's on the list, and checks it off.
That's what I do.
No, it's not. You make a list, do things that are not on the list, then add them to the list just so that she can check it off. That is not type A. That is type triple A.
All right, fine.
You're like the Energizer Bunny.
Especially with Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yes, I do that. However, I just like to remember who I should pray for every day. That's just an idea for you. But praying is super important. It's our longest point because it is so important. It keeps you in communication with God, and it opens up that communication in the spirit realm where you can hear God's heart for other people. All right, bud, what is the second way that our friends get to help fulfill the Great Commission with us?
The second way that you can help fulfill the Great Commission is that you can give.
Yep.
You can give monies or stuff, or you could give diapers to the pastor. She said that at church once. It was hilarious.
I spoke too fast. It didn't go through my filter.
She said, hey, pastor, you need diapers?
I'm never going to live it down.
Nope.
Ever.
It's hilarious.
But just like with it, it has to do with just like with the prayer. See, now you got me all tongue-tied. There
my tongue isn't tied. It's sewn, but it's not tied. Man, these people still don't get that. Hey, people! Look!
Okay, bud.
Sewn on.
Just like with prayer, there are times that God will put a need on your heart. He might ask you to bring 5 bags of groceries to the church the next Sunday. You might have no idea why, but I bet you Pastor Steve might know where those bags need to go. And then what he was referring to was, I said, maybe diapers and wipes need to be brought to the church. And Pastor Steve might know someone who needs them.
But that's not what you said.
I know.
Hey, Pastor Steve, you need diapers?
I said, maybe the pastor needs them. And it just came out way too fast.
It was hilarious.
Yes, it was. And very embarrassing.
And now I mention it at every church we go to.
But again, there are needs that God knows that you are able to fulfill. You're partnering with God to expand that Great Commission, because the people that might need those food, the diapers and wipes, maybe it is money. They may not know who Jesus is. And then when they hear a story that God told someone to bring them food or to bring them whatever they need, they'll be touched by that. It's a story. It's a way to open up a communication about Jesus. It's very simple. And sometimes it's like, but I don't know that I have that. I don't know that I can do that. God is going to make you able or he's going to provide the way for you to fulfill those needs, okay? So what if it does have to do with money, bud?
Yep. Oh, you want me to say my thing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter if you give 10 cents or 10 hundred quadrillion dollars. The whole point is to do whatever God says to do. If he told you to give 10 cents a month, do that, because that's being obedient. If he asked you to give $10,000 a month, do that too, because he'll make sure you have it to give.
Right, and if there's a need in the church, a need in your community, anywhere, and God's asking you, hey, you have $5 in your wallet, put it in the plate.
But I wanted to use it for McDonald's.
Don't use it for McDonald's. But you might feel like it's just $5. What's $5 going to do? Guys, you have no idea how much your $5 in your obedience can expand in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
So our amazing superintendent of the Assemblies of God.
Mr. Play-Doh.
It's Reverend Doug Clay.
See, same thing. Mr. Play-Doh. Hey, no. Mr. Play-Doh, do you see me? I can see the camera. You watching? Hi, you... Mr. Play-Doh.
I really hope
one
not.
Of these days he's going to watch. I keep telling everybody that we say this.
Anyway, Reverend Doug Clay, Pastor Doug Clay,
Play-Doh.
Has said, 5 loaves plus 2 fish doesn't really equal a lot, right? But 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 1 Jesus equals unlimited amount of possibilities.
That's a great quote, Mr. Play-Doh.
Pastor Clay. So when you say, but my $5 isn't going to do much, you need to remember, when you give it to Jesus, he can do anything with that $5. So there's a program in AG called BGMC.
Big Mac.
No.
Yep.
Get off of McDonald's.
Big Mac. BG. Big. MC. Mac. Big Mac.
Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge.
Big Mac.
It's where
they
children.
They give hamburgers.
Children bring in change, okay, for missionaries. And those funds are able to go all over the world to help missionaries with their programs. Okay?
Get hamburgers!
No.
It should.
Well, it doesn't.
But it should.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
You're special. So
my mom said I'm special.
When, yeah. Your manufacturer?
Yep.
Okay. So
Amazon.
When we were in Antigua, I was the kids director, and I was creating a lot of the program, a lot of the curriculum, the paperwork, and everything like that for my kids. I don't know if you've ever been to the Caribbean or an office supply store, but ink is very expensive, just like everything else. We were paying about $150 to $200 a carton of ink, and then we could get it home, and it would already be dry, and there's a no-return policy. So we were financially just unable to continue buying ink. And we were able to partner with BGMC. They bought us curriculum that we were able to have brought down with a team to be able to share the gospel with the kids in our church and in our neighborhoods. BGMC uses the coins, the little that we would see, and expanded it to being able to share the gospel in Antigua. They do it all over the world. But BGMC is a huge, huge lesson for us. That it doesn't matter how much change you put in the basket, all that matters is your obedience.
And they accept dollar bills too.
True.
So, and checks.
True.
Just saying.
So, we have done praying.
Yep.
We've done giving.
Yep.
All right, Bud, what is the third way that our friends here can partner with us?
The last way that we can fulfill the Great Commission is that we can go and do it. We can actually go. We can go volunteer our time. We can go on a mission trip. We can go say hi to Stan. Hi, Stan. Maybe Stan can go to Uzbekistan. That'd be funny. Hey, I'm home.
Maybe. Okay. So, yes, going. Now, does going mean that it has to be overseas? No. Did you understand this? You guys get to go next door. You get to go to school. You get to go to your job. You get to go wherever you are, wherever you have to go that day, and you can be fulfilling the Great Commission. You get to be God's light for Jesus. Students, on your Zoom calls, if you're stuck at home again, you get to be God's light via Zoom. or if you're working from home, same thing. So it does not always mean going overseas. I do want to talk to you a minute about something, though, with going overseas, or actually just going where you are. In Luke 10:2, we have a verse that says, "He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, this was a verse that our leadership in Latin America, Caribbean, asked us to start praying at 10:02 every day because
That's
of
convenient.
Luke 10:2. It reminded us to pray for more workers for our region, for Latin America and Caribbean. But God kind of opened my eyes this year, the beginning of this year, and he said, it's not just for Latin America, Caribbean. I need my workers in my churches to go into the harvest field around them. I need my people to go to their neighbors, to go to the people in the stores, in their jobs. I need my students that are for me to get to their students. The harvest field is so full, but not a lot of workers are in it. So at 10:02 every day, my wristband goes off. My phone doesn't on Sundays just because it's not appropriate during church. But I remember to pray, wake up your children, Lord God. Wake up your people that are sitting at church or that sit on church on Sundays to do your work during the week. Okay? So that's 10:02. That's my heart every day. You guys can join me in that for workers overseas or for how you can pray or how you can be a light for Jesus where you're at. Okay? So 10:02 every day. But, Bud.
Yep.
What if God does call somebody to go to that neighbor that's a little scary?
The scary one. You know who that is, right? You all have that. And if you ain't thinking of one, you're probably it.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
Yeah, definitely a scary neighbor.
See, told you.
But what does that mean? Like, what if I'm scared?
That's okay. God gives you the words to say when you go. You have to just be obedient and do it, and then you'll be surprised what actually comes out of your mouth.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm surprised what comes out of my mouth, too.
Me, too.
Because my mouth don't actually make sounds. Wow, only two people.
Anyway.
There's no voice box in here.
I think they got it.
Okay.
Anyway. Yep. So a lot of times when God asks us to go, it pulls us out of our comfort zone. It pulls us into a place of uncertainty and vulnerability. But that's where we get to lean on Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. He will give us that boldness. And yes, we do need to ask for that. Guys, I never in a million years imagined myself being able to stand up here and preach to people. I was scared to death of preaching or talking in front of people.
And then you add a puppet.
That adds a different element, that's for sure. God gives us those things that we need to fulfill what he has called us to do. It could be bringing your family overseas. It's not easy. It's very challenging. I'll be honest. I was in tears this morning because there are some times where you just, God, I need extra strength. I need that. I don't know how to do this anymore. I don't know how to keep pulling my kids every week, sorry. Anyway, he gives us that strength. He gives us that boldness. He gives us the encouragement that we need in order to do what he's called us to do. We just need to ask, okay? So we get to pray, we get to give, we get to go. And it's a privilege to do all of those things together. And we're excited that we get to do those things with you guys. So, Bud.
Yep. I know. I got to go.
Yeah. But I thank you for today. It was good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You had a couple weeks
I had to go get ordained.
Yep. All right, Bud. Yep. If you could say goodbye to everybody for
okay,
me.
Okay, so long. Adios.
If
farewell.
If everyone could say goodbye to Bud for us.
Bye-bye. So long. Bye. Adios.
All right, so that's Bud, and there's a reason for Bud. That is a part of our ministry, and this is actually a COVID project, which God decided to wake up this amazing talent. Bill,
mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Looking for Oozbub.
He left.
What do you mean he left? I didn't even find him yet.
Well, he found everybody else.
Oh, that's good. Did he behave?
Yeah.
Okay, so normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are your legs this week?
They're working.
Woohoo!
If you don't know, I actually increased the stage of foot since the last time I did it, and I'm actually sitting instead of kneeling. So my knees are so thankful right now.
So while we were sitting, just like everybody else basically last year, God started waking up this talent in Bill to do puppetry. He had put it down from
high school.
Yeah, so over 20 years ago. Am I dating
that's
you?
That's scary. Yeah, that's right.
But he said, this is a part of your ministry. This is something that we want you to do with your children to be able to reach those in the Caribbean. And we're going to talk with you about that right now. So while I mentioned that we served as missionary associates in Antigua, I was the kids director. Bill was the Bible school teacher director.
That made sense.
Yep. I taught our kids at home. I taught Sunday school. I was all about kids ministry.
And I was a middle school teacher for 13 years. So
yep.
Teaching, hey, I know how to do this.
So we were like, this fits our talents. This fits our, you know, what we're good at. So yeah, I'm gonna teach kids school or kids curriculum, you know, write it. I can't talk right now, apparently.
Words are hard.
Yeah, and then he's gonna teach in the Bible school, and that's what we're gonna do for the rest of our lives. We're sold out, we're going. And then we get there, and like I alluded to, it was really hard getting used to, but 9 months in, we're like, oh, I think we got a rhythm. I think we're good. And then God said, I got a little change for you.
Doesn't that always happen, like, right when you get into the rhythm? You're like, oh, I'm getting good at this. And God goes, now we need to change.
Yeah, now we're going to change. We just felt a transition coming. God started talking to us about our future, and he started talking to us about long-term, which we thought we were going to be in Antigua for at least 10 years, and he said, nope, this is your only term here, which we're like, okay. So we started pressing in, and we started asking God, well, what does this look like? What does this mean? And we started fasting and praying, and during this time, God brought me into a wonderful vision, and he brought me into his throne room. And in his throne room is his throne. It's absolutely gorgeous. But then surrounding his throne room are billions of other thrones. Now, some of these thrones already had people sitting in them. They were reigning. They had crowns on their heads, holding scepters, royal robes, kind of like what Ephesians 2:6 says. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And then it was like spotlights almost that kind of were shining on the empty seats. They had crowns just sitting on them, but they were empty. So I started asking God, well, what does that mean? Why are you highlighting these seats? And he said, well, these seats are reserved for the children who don't know who I am yet. These are my lost kids' seats. So I want you and your family to go into the Caribbean, and I want you to find them, disciple them, bring them to me into knowledge of who I am to them as their father, and help them find their places. I was like, all right, well, I think we're kind of doing that. Like, isn't that? He's like, yeah, but I'm going to take it a step further. I want you guys to church plant. And I went,
what?
But that's not what we thought we were going to be doing.
That's like, not what you said we were going to be doing.
That's not what you said originally. We're not qualified for that. And the list started going. But we're not ordained. Guess what just happened last week? He's ordained.
And so is Bud.
And so, oh, Lord help us.
I actually asked that at my interview.
He did.
When I went to get interviewed for ordination, I actually asked the interviewees, I said, when I become ordained, does that mean the puppet gets ordained too? And they looked at me and was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, at least the hand.
And I was like, but God, we're not qualified for this. We've never done this. We can't be by ourselves. We can't, you know, all these excuses. We're joining a team of church planters, some of which have been doing church planting for over 25 years. So we're not going to be alone. We're going to get to learn. Seriously, every single but had an answer to it. And there are still worries, or there's still, you know, questions that we have, but God continuously is faithful and keeps replacing those questions with answers. All we have to do is just be obedient. That's our theme for today is obedience. We walk forward now with our
predetermined,
yes, where we just have our hands open. It's not easy to get there, but we know it's a lot easier to walk through life with a predetermined yes than a, God, I don't want to do this, and then have him work through us later. So.
Yeah, so we went through this whole time, and as Bethany was saying, we were trying to figure out, you know, what that next step was, and he mentioned church planting. And we said, okay, you know, we have a predetermined yes, we'll say yes to this. So we're going to do it. We don't know how it works, but okay. And we said, you know, what are we going to be doing? And he started to talk to me about the importance of kids and to really hone in on kids specifically. In fact, he actually was telling me a lot of things that I just don't have time for, but he was talking to me about how kids are the, like, foundation of everything, that if you reach kids, you reach everybody. And we said, that's great. What does that have to do with us? Because, I mean, we have four kids, but, you know, when you go to a place, you generally don't reach just kids. And he said, you will. And I said, okay, what do you mean? He said, I want you to plant a church. I said, I know, you already told me that. He said, I want you to plant a church for kids, not for adults. And I said, I don't know if that's ever been done in the history of forever. And he said, then I guess you'll be the first. And I said, God, I know kids. Like, I was a teacher for 13 years. How does this work? Like, the AGWM, Assemblies of God World Missions, our model is to go plant a church, raise up leaders, give it to them, and then go plant another church somewhere else. That's the model. It's called Indigenous Church Principle. So that's the idea. How does that work with kids? Do I find the most mature 10-year-old I can find? Like, how does that look? And Pastor, you were talking about elders and your board members and stuff, right? What if they're all 8-year-olds?
That meeting's going to need a lot of candy.
We vote for more candy. Yeah, we know. Like, how does that work? And God said, stop. You're putting things on this that it's never going to be. And just relax. I know what I'm doing. And I said, good, because I don't. So he started to talk us through this, and he gave us ideas like Bud and puppets and worship and things like that. The worship this morning was fantastic. If the live band up here doesn't get to like that, just go back to this. This is great, you know? That was fantastic. But he's starting to show us what this looks like, how it looks to go and do this. And we're excited about that. But we're excited because we get to go somewhere else that God's called us to go to. But you guys should be just as excited. Because we got called to go somewhere else, but you need to do whatever God called you to do. That's the whole point of this message. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's obedience. It's doing whatever God said. See, we come up and we give pray, give, and go, right? And unfortunately, a lot of times, people see pray, give, go message and think it's a multiple choice question. Well, you can pray, you can give, or you can go. And God said, no, I never gave you that option. If it was a multiple choice, the answer is D, all of the above. You're supposed to pray, give, and go. But unfortunately, a lot of times in the church, we don't ask God what we are supposed to be doing. And if we do, we don't actually expect him to answer. See, when we do this, we're supposed to be asking God who to pray for. See, we know, intellectually at least, who we're supposed to pray for. We're supposed to pray for our pastors. We're supposed to pray for our government leaders, as long as they're in the right office. You know, sorry. So, you know, those things. We're supposed to do these things. And we know that intellectually, but have we ever asked God, who am I supposed to pray for? And then when he gives you a name that you don't even know, pray for him anyway. He could say, hey, I want you to pray for Ujbob Jenkins, I don't know. And you say, but God, I don't even know who that is. And he says, that's okay, nobody else is going to pray for this guy ever. I need you to. Because you're listening, you're being obedient. That's what I need. Hey, there's a country, one of the ones I used to say was Lesotho. It's in South Africa. It's a little country inside South Africa. And it said, you know, if God came to you and said, I need you to pray for Lesotho because no one else is doing it, that's an important job, to listen. And it all comes from you asking and listening to him to respond. That's the idea. So I want to actually give us an opportunity to do that, to pray and to ask God, who would you want me to pray for? And whoever that is, I mean, it could be that cashier at Walmart that drives you crazy because they take so long. That could be it, right? And whatever
He's
that is.
He's just talking from experience.
I am talking from experience because I was that cashier. I couldn't open the bags. So whoever it is, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to pray for. Okay, second one, giving. Giving is when a lot of people start going, whoa, wait a minute. But guess what? Giving doesn't have to be $50 a month. Giving doesn't have to be $1,000 a month. It doesn't have to be everything you have. Giving for God has nothing, zero, to do with the amount. Zero. What God is asking you to give is what, I'm sorry, what God's asking you to do is to give what he asks you to give. It's obedience. That's the important part. That number means nothing as long as it's whatever God told you to do. That's why when God says to give a tithe to the storehouse, to the church, that's what he's asking you to do, 10%. So you do that because that's what he asked, right? But whatever he asks you to give, that's what you're supposed to give. If it's supposed to be 50 cents, then give 50 cents. Kids, maybe it is 50 cents a month for you guys. Adults, maybe it's 50 cents a month for you guys too, and that's okay. Whatever God says to give, give it, because he will balloon this thing out as far as he needs to make it worth it. Don't worry about the amount. Just worry about obey, okay? And the last one is going. We talk about going, and a lot of people say, that's great, but I don't want to go to Iran. God knows that, okay? He knows that you don't want to go to these places maybe that you're kind of worried about, and maybe he has called you there, and he's prepping you for that, but maybe he's asking you to go somewhere else. Maybe he's asking you to go to Washington, D.C. They need it. How about like Portland, Oregon? They need it. How about the neighbor across the street? They need it too. Think about this, right? Is it possible, seriously, is it possible that God is so brilliant and so great in everything that he is that he knows what your assignment is, he knows what your call is, who you're supposed to reach, and he said, I'm going to make sure that you buy the house right next door to him? Is it possible? Of course it is. But we think that our mission should be going out to these far reaches of the earth, and for some of us, that's what it is. But for some of us, it's literally walking across the street. The whole point, though, is are we doing what God asked us to do? And we won't know that unless we ask him and let him respond. So I want to give us that chance, as I said. But I want to make sure that we do this by actually praying the way it's supposed to be done. And I know that sounds weird. Okay? Let me give you an example. If I were supposed to be communicating with my wife, and I walked over to her and said, hey, honey, I need you to do this and this and this and this and this. Thanks, bye. Did I just communicate with my wife? No. And guess what? Everyone in this room knows I'm in trouble. But that's not communication, right? The idea is, hey, can you do this? No, I can't. I have this other stuff to do, but I want, can you do this? Yeah, okay. And we have communication. We actually talk back and forth. I talk, she talks, I talk. That's communication. But if I can't do that laundry list of things for her and then leave to her, then why do we do it with God? Because we do. Hey, God, I want you to do this and then do this and then heal this person and then do this and then I need some money because I need rent and then I need those things. Amen. And you just stop and go. And God's in heaven going, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to tell you about these things. I wanted to tell you that, that person you wanted to be healed, I wanted you to go and lay hands on them and let them be healed, but now I can't talk to you because you're too busy. So today, when we're actually going to pray for these things, I want us to actually have the majority of the time of us praying just in silence, listening to what he's saying to us, because that's way more important than anything we could say to him. So let's actually have that opportunity. Let's ask him three things. Ready? Who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to give into who? Where do you want me to go? That's it. Pray those three things and then be silent for like 30 seconds and let him answer you. And trust me, he will. He wants to tell you your call way more than you want to hear your call. And then I have one other thing that I want you to do. After all this is over, before you walk out the doors, please tell somebody what God told you. Not as a bad thing, not as a, he talked to me, not like that, but as a level of accountability. Not as a bad thing, but like, hey, God told me he wants me to go work at a homeless shelter. And then next week, that person can come up to you. Remember last week you were going to go and volunteer at a homeless shelter? Did you call them yet? Oh, no, I forgot. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Right? It's not a bad thing. It's just there's nothing better for you to do than whatever God told you to do. So let's make sure we have people helping us to do it. Okay? So who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to give into who? Where do you want me to go? And then let's tell somebody when we're done. Okay? All right, let's pray for 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When we started praying about what God was asking us to do, we knew it was kids ministry. We knew it was church planting. But we didn't know why. Like, okay, kids are important, yes. But then he started reminding us about why they are so important and why the Caribbean. See, when we were serving in Antigua, we would see what was offered in our context in our area for kids. There was no kids' church. Or if there was, it wasn't readily available. Kids would have to sit silently in a church service with their families or risk being called out by the pastor. That doesn't show God's love, nor does it make people want to grow up in the church. We would also see other people, other churches that didn't have programs at all, and the kids wouldn't be allowed in the building. They'd be outside doing whatever they could to keep themselves entertained, which sometimes was throwing bottles at each other, playing soccer, whatever, but there wasn't anything that teach them about Jesus. So as we were praying about, God, what does this look like? What does our future look like with kids church planting? It was a, this is why. We're going to lose an entire generation, more than just one generation, of children in the Caribbean because there's nothing for them. There's no one teaching them who God really is. For so long, the Caribbean has grown in legalism, in religious legalism. That's what they've known. But God's culture is to change that, flip it, revival. Revive the meaning of relationship with Jesus. That's been our call. There was a little boy. He's not a little boy anymore. He's like 15 or 16. His name's Coco, okay? Coco grew up in the church or went to the church that we were working with in Antigua. And Coco kind of, for me, represents every child in the Caribbean, okay? We're going to be starting in Curacao. That's where we're planted. And then we're going to be going out from there. But Coco kind of is, he's stuck in my head as the child that I want to reach. See, Coco grew up in an abusive home, being told he's worthless.
By his parents.
And then by everybody else. Most adults or kids in the church would just laugh at him. So he became the class clown because better to be laughed at for something funny than just because of who I am. But there was something about Coco. He wouldn't look us in the eye. There was no eye contact, ever. And there was just something about it that bugged me. I wanted to reach him. I wanted him to know I saw him. So there's one day I'm praying, and I'm like, God, please help me to reach Coco. Please, what will help get him to you? And that day, it was Sunday morning. Our church was at night. So I was preparing for my lesson, and he said, I want you to get a lollipop, which candy does actually get attention. Get a lollipop. Get on Coco's level and tell him that I see him and I love him. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So that night, Coco was sitting in the back of the room. And I got a lollipop out and I went over to him and I got on my knees And for the first time, he actually looked at me. I guess the lollipop helped because it was like right here. But I said, I just want you to know that God sees you and God loves you. And we do too. From then on, he would look at us. He would talk to us. There was rapport. There are more Cocos all over the Caribbean. But guys, it's not just Coco in the Caribbean. There are people all over the U.S. And some of you might be sitting here wondering, well, I don't know who I am. Maybe you grew up feeling worthless. You grew up feeling like you had no purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of you. Our call has been to crown the Caribbean children who are lost and their families. Your job here is to crown those that are lost. And if there's anyone here who has ever felt worthless, that you have no purpose, I'd love to pray with you after church. Because each and every one of you, each and every one of you here has a job for Christ. You each get to perform something in the Great Commission. No one's left out. And no job is less than the other. So as we close, I want you to feel encouraged. You all have a job. I always have this out because it's just an important reminder for me that there are people waiting to hear about Christ. Their seats are waiting for them so that they can rule and reign with Christ. You guys get to help do that too. So Lord, we just come before you today and we just thank you so much for New Hope Assembly of God and everybody here. We just pray for a continued revival in this church, Lord God. And as they're moving forward, I just pray for each and every person, Lord God, that is here. Lord Jesus, just hear your purpose and your heartbeat for them, Lord God. What you have for them is so special. Each and every person has a unique and individual calling, Lord God. So I just pray that you would make that loud and clear to them today. And Father God, you love each and every person here. I just thank you so much for Pastor Steve and his family. I honor them, Lord God. And I just pray for a new breath of creativity and wisdom to just flow through them, Lord Jesus, and in their family, Lord God, and in this entire church, that it would just be a lighthouse for you, Lord God, that this would be a place for people to come and get revival in their hearts, Lord God. Find out who they are, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you. Yes. We thank you for everything you're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen.